Chapter 1. A Question is Asked. Stubbornly, Elijah Bailey fought panic. For 2 weeks it had been building up. Longer than that, even. It had been building up ever since they had called him to Washington, and there, calmly told him, he was being reassigned. The call to Washington had been disturbing enough in itself. It came without details, a mere summons, and that made it worse. It included travel slips directing round trip by plane, and that made it still worse. Partly it was the sense of urgency introduced by any order for plane travel. Partly it was the thought of the plane. Simply that. Still, that was just the beginning of uneasiness, and as yet easy to suppress. After all, Lige Bailey had been in a plane 4 times before. Once he had even crossed the continent. So, while plane travel is never pleasant, it would at least not be a complete step into the unknown. And then the trip from New York to Washington would take only an hour. The takeoff would be from New York runway number 2, which, like all official runways, was decently enclosed, with a lock opening to the unprotected atmosphere only after airspeed had been achieved. The arrival would be at Washington runway number 5, which was similarly protected. Furthermore, as Bailey well knew, there would be no windows on the plane. There would be good lighting, decent food, all necessary conveniences. The radio-controlled flight would be smooth. There would scarcely be any sensation of motion once the plane was airborne. He explained all this to himself and to Jessie, his wife, who had never been airborne and who approached such matters with terror. She said,
"But I don't like you to take a plane, Lige. It isn't natural. Why can't you take the expressways?"
"Because that would take 10 hours.
Bailey's long face was set in dour lines. "And because I'm a member of the city police force and have to follow the orders of my superiors. At least I do if I want to keep my C6 rating." There was no arguing with that. Bailey took the plane and kept his eyes firmly on the news strip that unreeled smoothly and continuously from the eye-level dispenser. The city was proud of that service. News, features, humorous articles, educational bits, occasional fiction. Someday the strips would be converted to film, it was said, since enclosing the eyes with a viewer would be an even more efficient way of distracting the passenger from his surroundings. Bailey kept his eyes on the unreeling strip, not only for the sake of distraction, but also because etiquette required it. There were 5 other passengers on the plane. He could not help noticing that much. And each one of them had his private right to whatever degree of fear and anxiety his nature and upbringing made him feel. Bailey would certainly resent the intrusion of anyone else on his own uneasiness. He wanted no strange eyes on the whiteness of his knuckles where his hands gripped the armrest, or the dampish stain they would leave when he took them away. He told himself, "I'm enclosed. This plane is just a little city." But he didn't fool himself. There was an inch of steel at his left. He could feel it with his elbow. Past that, nothing. Well, air. But that was nothing, really. 1,000 miles of it in one direction, 1,000 in another. 1 mile of it, maybe 2, straight down. He almost wished he could see straight down, glimpse the top of the buried cities he was passing over. New York, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Washington. He imagined the rolling, low-slung cluster complexes of domes he had never seen but knew to be there. And under them, for 1 mile underground and dozens of miles in every direction, would be the cities. The endless, hiving corridors of the cities, he thought, alive with people. Apartments, community kitchens, factories, expressways, all comfortable and warm with the evidence of man. And he himself was isolated in the cold and featureless air in a small bullet of metal moving through emptiness. His hands trembled, and he forced his eyes to focus on the strip of paper and read a bit. It was a short story.